My name is Max Barquero Salazar. I am the manager of interpreter services at Children's Minnesota. And the thing I remember the most about being a kid is playing soccer all the time.
Welcome to Childhood Chatcast with the Dude. I'm the Dude, and as usual, I'm joined by Jake. Hey, Jake.
Hey, dude.
And we're going to take a deep dive into the kid experts here at Children's Minnesota's Childhoods to find out what makes us all the same. Because, hey, we were all kids once, and as a twist, I am going to try to guess their birthday.
Their birthdays?
Their exact birthday, the date and year. So join us in the time machine I built out of cardboard boxes and duct tape, and let's meet our guest.
Hey, dude.
Hey, Jake.
Was there any TV shows that you think had a hidden agenda to try to teach us some things rather than just entertain us?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, dude, anybody can learn how to survive on an island if you watch all the Gilligan's Island episodes. It's funny that you say that because our guest today, Max, talks about learning about American culture growing up in Costa Rica by watching TV shows. Hey, Max.
How's it going, dude? Good.
Thanks for being here, sir, dude. I think I'm going to start off like I always do, and that's going back to your first childhood memory. If you could go back, what's the very first thing that you can remember, and how old were you, et cetera?
I'm not 100% sure how old I was. I would say I was probably around 3 or 4, but I do remember, first, I am from Costa Rica, so this is in Costa Rica. And my town is a town in the mountains. We had a large property, and I was outside of the house just hanging out, playing with rocks or something. And then my dad pulled into our property with his car, and I knew that he was coming with some pictures of me that were taken in a professional studio. And I got super excited because I knew he was coming with those pictures, and I ran to the car to see the pictures. I do not have a memory of the photo session at all, but I do remember running because I was excited to see the pictures. I still have that picture in here in Minnesota. I have it with me.
So. Oh, okay. So you did some sort of like glamour shots as a kid or something. They're like, well, it was a special setup, right? Yeah. And you were excited to see pictures of yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. So growing up in Costa Rica too, you're 3 or 4. What was your memory about school?
Well, I remember kindergarten a tiny bit. So first of all, in this town where I live, everybody was family. So my cousins, my aunts, everybody is there. So I remember my cousin and I were classmates. So I would always walk with her to kindergarten. And I was kind of the protector. I would protect her. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the first memories that I have of school. Another memory that I have of kindergarten was when a kid threw a woodblock on my head and made me cry.
Wow.
And then in first grade, the fun fact is that my first grade teacher was my aunt.
Oh, yep. Well, let's talk then a little bit more about family. You said everybody was family. Do you have brothers and sisters? Mm-hmm. What about your family dynamic there?
Yeah, my immediate family. So we are 6. I'm the youngest of 6.
Wow. Okay.
The story I heard is that my parents were planning on having only 5 kids. And I was a surprise child.
Okay. Does that mean the other 5 are a lot older than you and you came a lot later? Is that how that worked?
Well, 4 years later. So is my sister. We were pretty close, but we fought a lot too. But now that we are both adults, we are very close. So we talk a lot on a regular basis. Yeah, that's the dynamic. 6 kids, 3 boys, 3 girls. And I'm the youngest of all.
The baby.
Yeah.
The baby. Is that still the case now? Let's jump out of our time machine and come to present day. Are you still the baby?
In some ways, I took advantage of being a baby. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, I also did not want to be baby. So I remember my mom, like when I was like 4 or 5 or so, she would want me to sit on her lap. And I would refuse sometimes to do it. And when she was able to grab me, then she would basically just lock me with her arms and I would fight it. Mm-hmm. So I think my mom wanted me to be more of a baby than I ended up being. But I did take full advantage too. You know, I was able to claim
that you really worked
innocence.
It. Yes.
Innocence when I got in trouble, you know.
You worked it when it worked in your favor. You took advantage of it. And then there were times you probably also fought for, hey, I'm not the baby. I'm just like the older kids.
Yeah.
I can mix it up too. Okay, so let's go back to the school. So you're in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. Let's go back. Now you're 5, 6 years old. Here is a crazy question. In America, we just speak our own language, right? Mm-hmm. We don't learn as other languages. Do you learn English right away in the home?
No.
Or you had to learn it in a school?
Well, back then in Costa Rica, English was not mandatory until you made it to 7th grade. Oh. So that's when I actually started studying English. And I would say from 7th to 9th grade, it was pretty bad English. I mean, the classes, they were not teaching you much. Then it got a little more challenging, 10th grade to senior year. And then in college, I did take more English classes. But really what made the difference is that I made it here to work for a summer camp as a camp counselor. And so I...
Here as in Minnesota?
Here in Wisconsin, actually.
Okay.
In Hudson, Camp St. Croix. I don't know.
Sure.
Free advertising.
Right.
But yeah, so that's basically what helped me perfect my English. Or not perfect it, but improve it. And get comfortable speaking it. Because, for anybody, my advice, anybody who's trying to learn a language, the worst roadblock that you put on yourself is you. Like being shy, not feeling confident, uncomfortable to make mistakes. And if you make mistakes, that's when you start learning.
Right. So, that's very good advice.
So, you know what's funny? The one thing I knew about Minnesota, though, it was through TV. And especially one particular show.
Uh-oh. What is it?
The Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, yes.
Because my mom loved that show.
Well, it tells you about Minnesota, but kind of the wrong century.
Wrong century, but that's what I knew.
Covered wagons and chalkboard tablets in school. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we get a lot of TV shows, always have.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did watch quite a few shows, but obviously they were in Spanish. So,
well, what about that then? What were do you remember some of the shows that you, cartoons, kid shows?
Well, I do remember all Warner Brothers cartoons.
Sure.
Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, Tom and Jerry.
Sure.
All that stuff. Every Saturday morning, I would just sit down to watch that.
Looney Tunes, loved it. Okay.
Looney Tunes. And then other shows, I remember, this might be a little later. But Alf, Punky Brewster, that's the name, right?
Alf. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So now we're in the 80s.
Yeah. Different Strokes.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. So.
All those.
All those shows.
Sorry. That was way before my time.
Yeah. Bonanza. I do remember Bonanza, but I remember being little and seeing people watching it. I was not too into it. It was kind of boring to me.
Right. For a kid.
Too slow.
There's that stereotypical thing that you see in TV shows and movies that people have tendency to sometimes learn the English language from certain TV shows or movies. Example, when Cassandra in Wayne's World tells Wayne that she learned most of her English from the Police Academy series. Was there a TV show or movie that really kind of helped you hone in some of your English? Mainly, slang words or different kind of jargon?
I wouldn't say TV shows. I would say music.
Music?
More than that. Probably you guys remember you would buy a CD or a cassette.
Yeah.
And the lyrics were display there. So I would definitely follow the music and the lyrics, and I would learn a lot of words that way.
Sorry, is there any particular artist that you can remember back to reading the lyrics in the CD insert?
Guns N' Roses. Probably not the best lyrics sometimes to read, but Guns N' Roses. I learned some slang definitely from them.
Now we're talking grade school, and what about the toys? Tell me about maybe a present that you got. Could be for a holiday, Christmas, or whatever, or your birthday, or a toy that you remember, oh, this is a game changer for my life.
You know, being 1 out of 6, as a little kid, I didn't get a lot of life-changing toys. But I do remember I had a dump truck, a Tonka dump truck. And that was definitely my favorite toy.
The rugged kind, the old, made out of real metal, probably still looks exactly the same, maybe a little rust on it.
Well, if I didn't destroy it, it would be.
Right.
But that was my favorite toy. Yeah. But I would say what I played the most with was actually, well, my soccer ball. And then I had a lot of like games that I played on my own with marbles, with coins. I would like to collect coins from different countries.
Oh, okay.
And then I have little plastic soldiers. So I would just sit on...
Like the little green army guys?
Yes, those. Yes.
Sure.
And so I would just have little army fights, and the marble was the cannonball, and then I would use the marbles to play my imaginary soccer games. Man. You know, I have to come up with my own games. I have a lot of friends too, but...
I think that's true for a lot of kids, that when you start figuring out what do you play with, what do you have, a lot of it's just like using a toy for a different purpose. Like, I remember all sorts of things. My grandparents used to have the Lone Ranger plastic doll that was bow-legged, so it would sit right on a horse, like a plastic horse.
Yeah.
But those were from like the 60s, you know. Mm-hmm. My dad used to play with them, or
yeah,
grandpa used to play. I don't even know. But then I had my toys, and I had my G.I. Joes and my other He-Man guys. And it was so funny to play with. Here's this nose was chipped off Lone Ranger guy, but he was just as important and of a character in the stories that I would build with my G.I. Joes. You know, like he was just the freakishly tall cowboy that had a horse that was giant. I would have to pretend like, oh, we're in the land of giants, you know, and with my little G.I. Joes. So you have to just, you make it work, right? You started playing soccer, and let's say you were... Before you turn teenager, now you're playing a lot, you're playing all day, you're an active kid. Now, let's say you're an early teenager. Mm-hmm. Dude, you must have been eating your mom and dad out of house and home, right? Mm-hmm. How did they feed all those kids? What were you eating back then?
Well, Costa Rican traditional food is rice and beans almost every day. We eat that.
Okay.
And then there's always some meat, a salad, lots of bread. We have a coffee time, 3 p.m. or so, Costa Rican sit around the table with little pastries and stuff and drink coffee. So that's still traditional. I still do it, but I don't have the pastries. I always have a coffee in the afternoon, not necessarily at 3. But now that my sister is here, when I'm not at work, we are religious about having our afternoon coffee. And she is either baking or buying something.
Yeah. Is it kind of like tea time? Like the English have tea.
I would say it's very similar.
My background is Norwegian, and we didn't have tea time or coffee break afternoon.
So, but food-wise, I wouldn't say that there was anything particular. I do remember, though, the first time I ate pizza in my life.
Really? Let's talk about first pizza time.
That was one thing, very different. When we moved to the Central Valley, then you were closer to the very first two food chains, McDonald's and Pizza Hut.
Oh,
and when I was about 9 or 10, my parents said, let's go to San Jose and let's go eat pizza. I was like, okay, I don't know what that is, but let's do it. So we got there, and so it was pretty greasy.
Oh, yeah.
And pretty thick. It was like the thick crust.
Yep.
I loved it, but it made me so sick. That I ended up getting sick. I threw up and then couldn't eat pizza for like 4 or 5 years. I hated it.
Oh, no.
And then the first time I went to McDonald's, I saved the French fries, the box. I saved it and then I put it on my wall in my room. So I displayed it. I was so proud of having eaten at McDonald's and Pizza Hut.
And you didn't get sick from McDonald's.
I didn't get sick from McDonald's.
But it was pizza.
I think I went to Pizza Hut first.
You now, weren't conditioned.
Now I can handle it pretty well.
Now you've got the stomach, yes. All right. So now it's almost empty house. Your brother's still there, and you're getting ready to graduate. Were you a good student then? You seem like you would be a very smart. You would apply yourself to studies.
I did not want to spend the time doing homework. I just wanted to go out and play and hang out with my friends. So I would say I could have been much better if I was more dedicated to school, but I did okay. Graduated. I went to college and I graduated.
I always thought like not everybody can be valedictorian, so you got to have other people that are up at the top. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be that person. So I'll be somewhere in the middle here. I'll be fine as long as, you know. Yeah.
High school was fun. I would say it was fun. You know, different traditions probably than here. Like we don't have prom. We just do a graduation party afterwards. You know, for seniors, what I remember doing and the tradition in my school was that we all would like dress up basically like Halloween, not necessarily have to be like scary costumes, but we just dress up and they go around every classroom in high school and kind of like say goodbye, but at the same time tease the other classes, and we'd do some prank or something. So it was very fun, but I enjoy my friends so much that I probably was procrastinated a little bit with school.
Right. What was some of the bands that you listened to? What do you remember? Obviously, Costa Rica has its own flavor, but what about like the more
American?
Yeah.
Well, I do remember when there was a dance for school. It was all about Technotronic, MC Hammer. what else? Well, more heavier stuff.
Yeah.
Like Guns N' Roses. Oh,
sure. Yep. Yep.
Motley Crue. Mm-hmm. So all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Michael Jackson, too.
Yeah. He was in the 80s.
Yep.
He was
Prince.
Biggest thing. Prince. Which,
I remember a little bit of Prince. He was never my favorite back then when I was a kid. Because I would compare with Michael Jackson.
And
it was such different style that, you know, I would prefer Michael Jackson. Now, as a Minnesotan.
You've turned.
Yeah, I turned. I turned on Michael.
Good for you. So, it's like being a Mets fan your whole life and then going, you know what? I do like the Yankees after all. You're getting ready to graduate. You got to start talking about college. Did you jump right into higher education?
So I did take the admission test for the University of Costa Rica. And in my mind, I wanted to go to architecture school. I did not know that the architecture school in the University of Costa Rica was extremely hard to get into, and that I would have to get almost a perfect score in my admission test, which I didn't. So I ended up scratching that plan. And then I ended up going to like a two-year college first, and I started this tourism program. And basically, I was learning a lot about diversity in the country that was attractive to tourism. And also, I did a lot of tours around the country. So we would go to like beaches, mountains, archaeological places, which there's not a lot in Costa Rica anyway, but there are a few. Then went to a four-year school where I did finish that program. But then when I moved to Minnesota, I was like, oh, well, there's not a lot of toucans here. There's not a lot of beaches in Minnesota.
What year did you move to Minnesota?
Well, when I moved here, it was 2002.
Okay.
So with my degree, I couldn't do anything, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
So I had to go back to school.
Right.
So I ended up graduating in social science. That's kind of like my academic story.
Well, I think what's really cool to talk about somebody who grew up in a completely different culture. It's really interesting here to talk to you about overall the family dynamic and how you learned also about American culture. I think we're going to get to the last part of this interview is where I take what I know, what you said, and I will do my best to try to guess your birthday, both the date and the year.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see.
All right. Let's see how I do here. So I'm putting things together. Jake and I were actually talking before this, and he thinks you were a February baby, but I think it feels to me, I just get a sense that you were born more in the summer, maybe later in the summer. So I'm going to say it was like maybe it was late August or something. So I'm going to say August 20th, 1976.
Nope.
Am I close?
You were pretty close, though.
Oh, not bad. Okay, so what was
close? I was August 12th.
August 12th?
1973, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you were close in the date.
The date. And somewhere in the 70s.
Yeah,
okay.
70s.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Good job. Good job.
I know that you also have family in town, so we'll turn you loose. Thanks for hanging out and sharing your childhood with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, dude.
Thanks, Jake. Max.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for today's Childhood Chatcast, brought to you by Buzzsprout. To get new and previous episodes of Childhood Chatcast, head over to starstudiomn.org.